Right, we've got two Bible readings today. The first one comes from Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by the sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And our second reading's from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them. He pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number on that day.
Thank you so much, Sue. So why do we do what we do? Today, we get to look at why do we do baptism. Baptism is something that we do, right, as a church. It's something that the church has always practiced. But why has the church always practiced baptism? And why has Como Baptist Church always practiced baptism? The easy answer is, well, Jesus, he did it. He modeled it. So we should probably follow Jesus and do what Jesus did. We see in Matthew 3, he modeled it for us. And the other thing is, we also know that in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, he commands it. He made it a command. So we know Jesus said that baptism was important. Is that why we do baptism? Well, yes, but why baptism? Why baptism? To actually answer the question that we're asking today, why do we do baptism? We first have to answer the question, what is it to have a new life in Christ? What does it mean to have new life? A lease of new life. At home, we have a beautiful golden retriever. His name is Charlie. He's been with me for many, many years, since I was a young adult, before I had kids, before I met Ben. Before I met Ben, Charlie was the love of my life. Before I was a mum, I was a fur mum to our beautiful Charlie. But Charlie is getting a little bit old. He's aging. And as our beautiful golden retriever, Charlie, is aging, what is happening is the things that normally happen with aging. And he's starting to have some health issues. His health is declining. He's struggling with pain. He's struggling with mobility issues. And a few weeks ago, he had an injury just simply trying to get up from the spot he was, and he hurt himself. We had the vet come out to us, and I said to the vet, "What do we do?" And they gave him an injection, and the injection was a pain medication, a very powerful one. And the vet said, "Don't worry, tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to have a new puppy. You're going to have a new dog. Charlie is going to have a new lease on life to have this pain medication." And I know Charlie pretty well, and I've journeyed with Charlie over many years, and I thought, not my Charlie. I cannot imagine him bounding around the place. You haven't seen my Charlie walk. He's not going to be running anywhere. And the vet said, just you wait and see. Sure enough, the next day came up, and we got a new dog in our house. And he was bounding around like a brand new pup, moving around happily. He got a new lease on life that day. In many ways, when we think about what it is to have a new life, it is difficult for us to comprehend what could Jesus possibly be saying to us when he says we get to have a new life with us, with him. Nicodemus in John 3 has a conversation with Jesus. And Nicodemus is having trouble understanding this concept. Jesus is talking about what it is to be born again, what it is to have a new life in Christ. And Nicodemus is not getting this concept. And he says to Jesus, but how can an old man become new again? How does that work? And I think Nicodemus was thinking so much in the way of what we were thinking about with Charlie, of what it is to be physically agile and move and free of pain and all of these things. And Jesus is saying, no, this isn't some temporary, superficial, physical new life. This is something much more powerful, much more eternal, and something within. It is a spiritual new life. It is a new beginning for us. It is a new identity, much like Charlie. We saw some change. That's true for us as well. It's a new identity, and it's a new life given by God. But this isn't just some idea or some concept that we talk about for us to step into a new life with Jesus. This is actually something that we can live out, something that we can step into, something that changes us. I wonder, for many of us in the room, we have made that change. We have stepped into it. It's not just some theoretical thing we read about in Scripture. It is something seen in our very life. So, baptism, it's something that we get new life from. We've got that bit. It's something that Jesus said was important. We got that bit. It's something that Jesus did. We got that bit. But what is it about the water that magically gives us this new life, we might ask? And we know that it isn't anything magical in the water. Our Baptist tradition and our Baptist belief believes that the water is water, but rather it is a symbol. It is an outward symbol of an inward new spiritual life that we step into. We get this, don't we? I mean, how many of us are familiar with this wedding ring that is on my finger? We get what it is to have a symbolic representation of something internal. I mean, what is it, 11 years ago, I didn't just step up on the altar and all of a sudden magically put on this ring and bam, I was married to Ben. We know it didn't work like that, but rather I met Ben, I dated Ben. Slowly over time, I got to know Ben. As I got to know Ben, I fell in love with Ben. And at some point, gradually, I made the decision, I am going to commit my life to Ben. And at that point, I'd made the decision, we made the agreement, we set a date, we went and got married. And when we got married, we chose to put a symbolic ring on our finger, not because it was magical, not because it made us married. This isn't my marriage, but because it's a symbol of the love, of the relationship, of the choice, of the commitment, of the covenant that we made together on that day. It is making something invisible and making it visible. That's why we do baptism. It is the symbolic act of saying yes to Jesus and his invitation to fully belong to him and to fully live a life with him. Baptism, it is a visible yes to an invisible work that takes place within us. We don't go into that water to receive salvation. We don't go into that water to be saved. We do it to declare what has already happened, to declare that that salvation, that that choice, that that relationship has already taken place. And we are doing it to symbolize it. So we get that. We get that it's a public symbol of a new life with God, with Jesus. So why then baptism? Why don't I have a ring on my other hand? That's my life with Jesus ring. Why is it baptism? Why the water? Why is it that we do what we do? Romans 6, which Sue read out for us, explains a little bit of this. We do baptism because it tells a story. It tells the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. And even more so, it tells the story of us joining Jesus in Jesus' death and resurrection. The story of Jesus becomes our own. Baptism symbolizes death to sin. We can see there up on the screen, death to sin. We have our old life, our old way, a way separated from God. And we are choosing to step in to the water. We are choosing to partake in the thing that happened on the cross, which was Jesus' death. In Romans 6, it said, we are those who have died to sin. We then have the burial with Christ. It's symbolic of the burial of Christ. And that's why we go fully under. That's why we go fully under, because that's representing us joining in on that burial. In Romans 6, it said, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And we then have the resurrection represented. We have the symbol of the resurrection into a new life. Romans 6, it says, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You see, Romans 6 shows us that baptism is about our union with Christ, being crucified with him, being buried with him, being raised with him. This is why we go under, because the old self has been crucified. Our old identity that's been ruled or defined by sin is laid down, and we come up and we are raised into a new life, going empowered with the Holy Spirit. We go under as our old self and we rise in our new life. When we think about our stories, we spent January thinking about our stories, didn't we? There are certain stories that this is really easy to just think through, and it's really straightforward. You kind of think, okay, my story might be that I lived a life over here and I had a life and I was a wild party animal and I was getting into all the wrong stuff. And then all of a sudden, I met Jesus and I made that choice and I believed in him, and then I was baptized and then I went forward and my whole life is different. When we hear those testimonies, we know how significant they are. And we get this, and it makes so much sense. But what if our story isn't that? You heard my story, and I invited Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior as a 2-year-old. What about then? What are we talking about when we're saying dying to our old self, putting our old life to death. What are we talking about? To really understand how this works, we need to have a good understanding of what is sin. Because often we get caught up thinking about sin with a lowercase s, or sins. That's the behaviours. That's the actions. That's the choice. Yes, baptism represents that. It represents dying to sins, but it is not limited to that. We're talking about sin as the capital S, which is the distance between us as humankind and God. This is not talking about a behaviour modification kind of thing. We're talking about the gap between ourself as a human living in a fallen world and our Heavenly Father. And that Jesus, we know the gospel story, Jesus came and died to bridge the gap so that we can join in him. That is what we're talking about when we're talking about dying, our old life dying. We're talking about the distance, falling short of the glory of God, being a part of a fallen humanity and making a choice to accept Jesus as the one who bridges the gap and brings us back into the presence of our Heavenly Father. Baptism, it's a visible yes to an invisible work. So if that is the case, why don't we just do it in our bathtubs at home? It's symbolic. Jesus says it was important. Why can't I just go and fully go under? I'm representing it. All of the symbolism is there. Why is it that we come together as believers, as a church, as a community? We do it because baptism, it is personal, but it is never private. Faith in Jesus was never meant to stay private. Baptism is the public declaration of faith in Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. It is the visible expression of a life that we have already chosen and already received. To be visible, it has to be seen. It is making a declaration to God, to our community, and to ourselves. It's saying, yes, Jesus, I am in. It is saying, yes, church, I am here. And it is saying, yes, self, this is who I am. I am choosing to be a part of this and partake in this together with you. Baptism is personal, but it's never private. Baptism is so deeply corporate, so intrinsically communal. In the book of Acts, we know where that fits, don't we? We've got our New Testament and we have our gospel stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which gives us an account of Jesus' time here on earth. Just at the end of the gospel, we come to the gospels, we come to the point where Jesus ascends up into heaven. Before he goes, he says, I am not leaving you. You will have my spirit with you. But then his body returns up to heaven. And the disciples are looking around going, wait, what? What do we do now? Where did he go? What do we do? And so they start gathering and start doing this community life together. And they birth the church. That is the origins of the church. And early in Acts 2, which is where Sue read for us, we hear Peter declare the gospel message for the first time since Jesus ascends to heaven. And the people were so moved, so compelled, that they say to Peter, what do I do now? What do we do? How do we respond? Peter's answer, repent and be baptized. And so they did. Baptism has been a key outward response, shaping church life right from the very start. Why do we do baptism? Because this is how the early church responded to Jesus. Why do we, Como Baptist Church, do baptism? Because it is how we, Como Baptist Church, respond to Jesus. Baptism is personal, but it is never private. So here we come to the invitation. If baptism is a visible yes to an invisible work, have you said yes? I wonder if you have already been baptized, whether that be recently or long, long ago. You were given the invitation, you said yes, and you stepped into those waters, you died to your old self, and you went in the freedom of your new life, a new lease of life. My question for you, if you are sitting in that category today, if you look at your life now, are you fully living your everyday life in the freedom that you were gifted, that you accepted on that day of your baptism? Because we know, for all of us, myself included, saying yes to Jesus is not a one-time done thing. I was baptized at 14. It is not a set and forget, walk away thing. We know this. We were talking about marriage. Isn't it the same? When I walked down the aisle to Ben, I walked down to the song called I Choose You, and that has always been our language. We chose each other on that day, but we make the choice daily. And when we get into our difficult seasons, as we all do in married life, we say that to each other, I still choose you. It is the same for those who are born again, who have been baptized. Are you still choosing Jesus in the same way you did on the day of your baptism? And are you living in that freedom? What does it look like for you to be fully living in that new lease of life that God gave you? If you are feeling like you are not living in that new life, can I just say that that is okay and that is a normal part of living as a human being? And can I encourage you today, after the service, find someone, find me, find someone that you know and you trust and say, can you just pray for me today that you help me go out into my week and live fully in the freedom that I accepted, that I was given, that I was gifted when I accepted Jesus. Baptism comes from the word baptizo, which is to immerse. Are you living fully immersed? But if you haven't been baptized today, my question for you is different. My question is, have you already said yes to Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Are you a Christian? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you say yes, then I want to warmly invite you to come and be baptized. Take that step of obedience that Jesus has asked of all of his believers. Take that step of faith and make that significant, symbolic, public declaration that this is who you are and that this is whose you are. One of the things I hear most when I'm chatting to those of us who have been in our church community for a long time, who's just been in a church community for a long time, but just never got baptized, the comment is, but Shelby, I've been a believer for years. It's just I never got baptized. What will people think now? Can I just normalize that for a moment? There are so many reasons we didn't get baptized. Particularly when it's been a long and gradual decision Maybe the opportunity just never felt like it arose. What will people think? Think to the early church. Think to the public declaration. This is a point of celebration. This is a good thing. This is something that we all want to stand with one another in. Scripture is pretty simple. They don't give a time frame. They don't give a deadline. They don't give a, well, you got to get to know Jesus for 6 months and then you make a decision, but take 6 weeks to make that decision. And when you've made that decision, you've got about a 4-month expiration date until you get into that water. Thank you. That's not how it works. I think we just overthink this stuff. We overcomplicate it. It is simple. Do you say yes to Jesus? And if you have, come and be baptized. Whether you have made that step or not, the invitation remains the same for every single one of us. Are you living fully immersed, both inward and outward? Is your life fully soaked in the love and grace of Jesus? We actually have a small group within our church now who haven't been baptized, who are actually meeting together, meeting with Ben and myself and exploring that. That's exciting, because what that means is in the coming weeks and months, we're actually going to be celebrating baptism with our church family. So if you haven't been baptized and you want to make that step, I just want to warmly welcome you into that. We would love to have you a part of that group. We would love to have that conversation. And we have services coming up where there is the opportunity to make that choice. But regardless, for each one of us, the call is to step out in our new life fully immersed. Let's pray. Jesus, we just want to remember what you did on the cross. We just want to remember the love and grace and mercy that you pour out to every single one of us daily, God. You are a good God. And Jesus, for every single one of us, we pray you reveal to us and you gift us the blessing of what it is to have a new life fully immersed in you. No matter where we are in our stories, no matter what our story has looked like, whether we were baptized long ago or it's something that we're contemplating now, Lord, we know you see us and you love us, and we are all welcome here. We want to thank you for the gift of baptism. But even more so, we want to thank you for the gift of what it represents. We pray in your name. Amen.